Well, the thing about a gospel song is this. If a gospel song does not teach a principle of Scripture or have Scripture in it that it applies, it does no good. The whole idea of it is that truth, when you hear the truth in the song, it moves your spirit. You see, that's where we worship God. We're supposed to worship Him and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our hearts. But we do that because in those songs, we worship Him in spirit and truth, because when we hear the truth of those scripture or those songs, it stirs our spirit and makes us worship Him. I mean, how many times you've been singing a song about Jesus and all of a sudden you break out to worship Him? How many times have you sung about heaven and all of a sudden your heart just lifted up toward praise to God? Because you get thinking about that place. But you get thinking about it and you know that it's true because you got Scripture to support what it was. And I'll be honest with you, some of this stuff anymore, it's so far off base, it's not even funny. But anyway, open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 11. You know, just last day or two, we got another victory in Supreme Court. The Supreme Court refused to hear a case by a bunch of atheists about our money, the motto on our money, "In God We Trust." And we're seeing several more places rise up, and police departments and people like that putting that motto on their cars. And I appreciate that. Had we not had a change of presidents, we would never have been able to do that. But I also appreciate the governor of Alabama. Kelly sent me a thing this week. And you may agree or disagree, but that's up to you. But anyone that in Alabama prison that gets caught molesting a child below the age of 13 is chemically castrated before they come out of the prison. And there's times, and I believe this, when people don't deserve to have the ability to bring children into the world or to do harm to children in that sense. And in my opinion, and I believe I can take Scripture back it up, and Matthew chapter 18 is all I need to know, that I don't want to take and offend some little one, because it's recorded before God and somebody's going to have to give an answer for that. Amen. Psalms 11. David here, let me just lay a little groundwork and it'll help us a little bit understand. David had three or four phases of his life. One phase was before he ever came to the court, and when he was out along the countryside keeping sheep, and he was there, God taught him a lot of valuable lessons. He wrote some tremendous psalms then, because you could tell that he had a great love and great relationship with God. He also went through some trials and tests. He didn't realize probably when he was going through that, fighting a bear, fighting a lion, protecting the sheep. He probably didn't understand that God had something greater for him and bigger for him. And those things were just going to give him confidence to the challenge he's going to have later on. But David there, he had gone through quite a bit. Of course, you know that it was during that time that Jesse had come to the house and had eventually anointed him to be the king of Israel. And of course, you know the story that Saul was put in king because of his great size. He was head and shoulder above the others, and The people wanted a king like everybody else instead of judges that God had sent. And Samuel was distraught, and he took it personal, and God said, Samuel, it's not against you, it's against me. And so Saul come along. And Saul evidently was a pretty big guy. And Israel had a lot of confidence in him. But Saul was not the man that God wanted intended for that job.
Amen.
And of course, later on, you know the story how that David come on the scene, and Saul and all the rest of the army of Israel was cowarding toward the champion of the Philistines. And they were all hid up their way, and David come along, and make a long story short, he told him he would go out and fight him. And of course, Saul tried to put his armor on. He said, I've not proved this. And he picked up a few stones, and he went out there, and he told him that he'd been able to fight a bear, fight a lion, and this uncircumcised Philistine would be no match for God. And so therefore he went down there and he defeated it. And of course he was brought into the court. From the countryside, he was brought into the court of Saul. Saul was fairly well with that. I'm sure he was probably jealous that day. Now here he was, a big scrapping man, but he wouldn't dare go down that valley with that giant of Goliath. And here this little ruddy boy came along and went down there and he defeated him. Cut his head off. And I'm sure there was some jealousy stirred up in Saul. Then, of course, as David would go out and Saul would send him out, he not only played music, try to calm his spirit sometimes, but he would send him out and in dangerous endeavors. And he may have been hoping he would get killed or something because of his jealousy. I don't know. But he would come back victorious. And people would begin to chant. Saul killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. And the old green-eyed monster began to stir up in Saul again. There'd be times when he was in a fit of rage, he'd take a javelin and throw it at David. Imagine how uneasy that wouldn't be to never know when something like that's going to happen. And of course, here not only that, but he also married one of Saul's daughters. And not only that, but Saul's son, Jonathan, loved him, and their hearts were knit together. And all this, so Saul was bitterly jealous and envious of David. Then, of course, later on, David had another trial in his life with his son Absalom, and he would hide out in caves and things like that. And he began to learn a lot of things there as well. This psalm, most people believe, was in a time when he was in the court. So when we read this, just picture your mind and how uneasy it was. Because David asked a question in verse number 3. What can the righteous do if the foundations be shaken or be destroyed? And so let's begin reading in verse 1. He says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to just bless our word. Lord, give us something that would be a help to us and help us understand the importance of foundations. And Lord, we just pray, be with us and go with us throughout these days. They're trying days, and many things come, and it's challenging. And Heavenly Father, we pray, help us as we face those as David did. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now look back here a moment and understand this. A house or a structure can be beautiful. It can be magnificent to the eye, but if it doesn't have a good foundation, it has nothing. Because sooner or later it will crumble. And so what's going to happen when the foundation goes? And here we find David asked the question, if the foundations be destroyed. And so here he had some friends that give him some advice. They said, run away, David, run. In verse 1, but David said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to run from it. And they said, well, flee like a bird. Just fly away. Get out of here. You know, you live in danger. There's all time, all these issues. And he said, listen. He said, I'm going to put my trust in God. Then in verse 2, he says this. He said, the wicked has always got their bows bent. They're trying to get me. Those people who's opposed to me, they're bending the king's ear and they're trying to stir up his anger and stir up his jealousy. And so he said, the wicked are always after us. Now listen to me. Let me share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. And you young people, I want you to listen to me just a moment and stay with me just a minute. Some of you have not been privy to understand where the foundations of certain things came from. We had the foundations of the home. It was the first institution that God made. He made a home where it be a man and woman. And they being twain would become one flesh. He made a home where they would leave mother and father and cleave unto his wife. And therefore they would do that. And what God would bring together, let no man put asunder. The home was important. Because your churches, your country, and every institution that you have is only as strong as your homes. When the foundation is being shaken, I went over here the other night, they have an auction over here, and every now and then I go over there, and I'm like Buffy. I like to stick around to the end and buy all them racks. You can buy four shelves of treasures for about $3, and you never know what you got in there. Chris loves me bringing them home. This time it took two loads. But she loves it when I do that. Yeah, I'm sitting in your house, Kathy. It's coming you. But anyway, inside that, I was going through and I was fixing some stuff for a yard sale and had this plaque, Mr. and Mr. Established 2017. Of course, normally it went across my knee and it went in the garbage can, but you young people, listen to me. It's not that times are changing that we need to make a change. If you destroy the foundation of a home, you'll have nothing. God didn't mean for two men to be together, nor two women to be together.
Amen.
God meant it from the beginning. He made a man to fit with a woman. That's the only way.
Amen.
Nothing else is natural. Everything else goes against nature. And we are getting, and you know, we had a president come in the last 8 years, and you know, they're beating up on President Trump on everything, and as I've said before, and I don't back up from it, I don't like some of his personal comments, and I don't like some of his past history, but I'll say this. As far as his policies, they are as straight as any president that I've had in my lifetime. But I will say this. They have their vengeance against him because of the policies that he's making and stands that he's taking. I appreciate him the other day when they came and they tried to force him to put a flag up on the White House, one of those whatever they are. I can't think what they are, but you know what they are. The rainbow flags. He said, I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
And all they was beating them up. You know, and of course, the other day I mentioned as well, President Obama come along and in running for election, he said, you know, I believe marriage is a man and woman. And then quick as he got in, he said, that was just a joke. I was just lying about it. And Michelle was telling everybody behind the scene, all these groups, just wait till he gets in. He did one of the most devastating things this country he could ever done. Whenever he passed and he allowed same-sex marriage.
Yes.
Young people, if you destroy the foundation, I don't care how pretty it looks on the outside, it won't stand. You would destroy everything in this country if you support things like that. The foundation has got to have somebody to say the foundation was never meant to be that way. You find the foundation of that, of the home, you find it with the Lord. He established it. It still is good today. It's still the way you do it. It's not you go out and have a bunch of kids because you can. Listen, it's easy to make babies. It's another story to get married, take the responsibility, and raise those children and teach them in the way in which they should go. But that's God's way, and he'll hold you accountable for that. Don't believe that just because we're living in this age and they pass some laws, and somebody said, well, it's law. Well, it's man's law. It's not God's law.
Amen.
God's law is still abomination. It's still abomination. He still gives them up. He still gives them over. It's a dangerous thing to be given up by God. When you're given up by God, there's no hope. And somebody say, well, they seem so happy. They might seem happy for a little bit, but they won't seem happy very long. When they stand before God, it won't be a happy time. So young people, listen to me. Foundations are important. If you don't believe so, you go out there and build a building. As a matter of fact, Chris and I come from Monticello yesterday. I don't know what happened. I think I know what happened. But they evidently, I think, was moving a building. It may not have been, but it looked to me like they'd moving a building. And all of a sudden I looked and it was collapsed. The walls had busted out and it was just all spread out. They were scratching their head walking around it. Didn't have any foundation. When you take the foundation out of the marriage, or you take the foundation of marriage out of your relationship, it's going to crumble.
That's right.
It's doomed for disaster.
Amen.
It's not going to work. It hasn't ever worked. It won't begin working now. Second of all, we have the institution of the church. The church was established by Jesus. It was purchased by Jesus. The Bible says, and we preached the other day on Ephesians chapter 5, he related to a marriage and said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, the church was established by Jesus. It's an important institution. Someone was telling me the other day that they had somebody that was, and I have this all the time, we can be a Christian and not go to church. I tell people this, you can be married and not go home too, but you won't have much of a marriage. And if you're a Christian, you don't go to church, you ain't got much of a Christian, you're not much of a Christian.
Right. Amen.
Don't have much of an influence.
Amen.
And so what you need to understand is this, the church was established by God. When you begin to take the foundations, the foundation of the church is this, that Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
And what we've done is, because of money, because of prestige, because of someone being a part of the church for some period of time, we need to understand that Christ is the head.
Amen.
The rest of us are nothing but sheep. I've been here 32 years and I have one vote just like you have one vote. I'm just a member just like you are. Christ is my head the same way as your head.
Amen.
We look to the Word of God to be authority.
Amen.
It's not my way. It's not your way. It's not the way grandpa did it. It's not the way grandma did it. It's not the way we always did it. It's what thus saith the Lord. And when the word of God sets forth and tells us how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, then that settles it. And that's what we have to do. We have to study to rightly divide the word of truth. And so we get into it, we find out. I was telling Brother Bruce, we was talking about a couple situations. I said, yeah. I said, when I came here, there was a few issues that we would take and we would teach. We would preach on. We would share. And sometimes the people had never been taught certain things. And when they saw it, they were supportive of it. Now, that won't always be the case, but they were here. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that they were willing to let the word of God be truth and let it be their standard. But young people, listen to me. I hear everywhere I go, and I see a lot. I go to churches. Chris and I, you've heard me say this before. We went down Mississippi a year or two ago, and we stopped at a place. What's the name of that place in Mississippi? You remember?
Lauren.
Yeah. Lauren. 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 Yeah.
It was Alabama.
No, it was Mississippi. But anyway, it was, we stopped there and we went in this place and they had about 60 or 70 people in that church. Had one child, 13-year-old, no other children. Everybody else looked to be 60 or above. And I asked them, what are you going to do when you're all gone? What's going to happen with this church? I have churches telling me that to have young people to come to church, you've got to create some type of a facility for them and let them be entertained. Show me that in Scripture. Where does God ever teach that we come to church to be entertained? Play ball, play this. But where does God ever teach that? There's a place I love to play ball, but not here.
Right.
Not now. The church is for a reason. It's to preach the gospel to sinners, to edify the saints. It's to help us grow, help us fellowship, help us get through this world that we face. Because everywhere we turn, we have the enemy shooting bow and arrows at us, trying to get it. They're trying to silence the Christian people. The values they're trying to silence. And so therefore we got to understand the foundation of the church is important. You got to keep it. And this idea that just because Uncle Joe has been a member of that church 50 years that he gets to tell everybody else what to do, that's unscriptural. And you can't find that in Scripture anywhere. And so what you have to do is this. What I find is this. I find when you got someone who is a spiritual person, they humble themselves.
Amen.
The Bible said God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud.
Amen.
And when you have people full of pride jump up and they resist what you're trying to do and what you're trying to preach and teach, and when you got the Bible on your side, that person is out of the will of God.
That's right.
Amen. Not only that, but you have, I want to talk just a moment about the foundation of this country. John Adams said this. He said this Constitution, this form of government that we formed for America, is will only work as long as people are moral and religious. He said, once they quit being moral and religious people, this government will not work. Because our founding fathers felt the smaller the government, the better off the people would be. Our founding fathers felt that religion was, or freedom was very important. And we would have freedom of press, we would have freedom of religion, we would have freedom to have our life, liberty, and all those things. And so therefore we had some wisdom in the foundation of this country. Now young people, I want you to listen a minute because I'm going to get to something I want you to understand. The So when you get in that, in 1892, Supreme Court clarified that America was a Christian nation. In 1931, George Sutherland on the Supreme Court reviewed that case, and he come out and declared again, and Supreme Court declared again that America was a Christian nation. Later on, in 1950 something, they declared that we were a religious nation and that we had that we worship a supreme being. But I said all that to say this. The last president, Obama, went over to Turkey during his time, and he told them that America wasn't a Christian nation. That it was not a Christian nation, it was not a Jewish nation, it was not a Muslim nation. But it was made up of citizens that I can't remember how he phrased it exactly, but something to the effect that we are bound together by ideas. A set of ideas and a set of values or something along those lines. But what I want you to understand, young people, is this. The foundation of this country, now listen to me. The foundation of this country was that men and women would have liberty to go out and pursue their lives and their livelihood without interruption from the government. What happens is, as people becomes more and more immoral, government becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Some they have to make laws for the immorality. Others are just immorality leads to power and love of money, which is the root of all evil. If you were to put any problem that we have on Washington, D.C., the primary problem you have in Washington, D.C. in this country right now is the love of money. It has destroyed this country. It's hard to find statesmen anymore. But I said that to say this. You've got a group of people that's just inviting floodgates, and they say, listen, come in, we're going to give you free, 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 free. Socialism was never part of the foundation of this country. Socialism is this idea that everybody can have certain things, whether they work for it or not. Listen to this. If you give something to someone that didn't work for it, then what you did was take it away from someone who did work for it. God never teaches any principle like that. Somebody said, well, they're wealthy. Well, if they got it honestly, they deserve it, as far as I'm concerned. But what matters is this. We're inviting a flood of people in. And we're saying we're just going to pay for this. And we're encouraging. And even when the last president was here, 49% of people on food stamps. A nation can't exist. Young people, the fabric and foundation of this country was upon capitalism. It was not on socialism. Do not fall trap for Bernie's laws and all this other garbage going around. You better examine the truth. You destroy the foundation of this country, and you'll never be able to put it back together again. God has blessed you to live in a place that's very special. If you've ever been outside of here in third world countries, you'll understand what I'm saying. And God has blessed America. And therefore, sometimes I find young people telling me this. Well, preacher, we get so tired of hearing, we're not even going to vote. Shame on you. You owe it to your country. You owe it to those who's died for this country. You owe it to keep the foundations the best that we can. You say, well, preacher, on all three of those areas, the foundations are being destroyed, so what can we do? Let me give you this, and I'll close. David said this, even when the foundations of the righteous are being destroyed. Look back. In verse number 1, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, what can we do? I just want to run away and hide. Well, that's exactly what they recommended for David to do. Just be like a bird and fly away. But you can't do that. You stand, you fight, you make a stand for it. You let your voice be heard. You say, well, they'll criticize me. Let me tell you this. The enemy is always wanting to shoot you. But there, somebody's got to do it. Second of all, look if you would in verse 4. You got to remember this. The Lord is still on the throne. He's not moved anywhere.
He knows exactly what's going on. He can make anything happen that he wants to make happen. Amen.
So therefore, you don't have to fear what men may do to you. And therefore, we need to understand that God is not moved. His throne's still in heaven, and nobody can
do anything. His eyes sees everything going on.
Somebody said, well, preacher, they're cheating. They get by with this. They get by with that. They don't get by with nothing. God is recording it all. And as they are trying and attempting to tear down the foundations, and the devil's in the midst right behind it all, because if he can tear down the foundations of the home, if he can tear down the foundations of the church, if he can tear down the foundations of this country and the way this country's been used, he'll be successful. And you know what he's trying to do it through? Education, higher education, through our young people and so forth, and to listen to some of them talk, it's ridiculous how little they know about the foundations. Not only that, but also look in verse 5. The Bible says that we're going to be tried and tested. We don't get a free pass. As we go through this life, there's going to be things that's going to be tried us, and we're going to be tested on certain things. And so therefore, we need to understand God's not dead, he's not blind. He sees what's going on, but we need to understand. He trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. But look in verse 6. When the Lord finishes up, he will triumph over evil. Everybody who's cheated, everybody who's killed and got away with it, everybody thinks. Everybody who's done something that nobody knows about, God will take care of it. He'll take care of it. Look in verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall what? Rain snares, fire and brimstone, a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of what? Their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Listen, folks. God always rewards faith in this life and the life to come. And our faith is given to us by the word of God. Our faith is in a sovereign God. Our faith is in and hope is in the coming of Jesus Christ. So if our foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Trust in the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would.
Page 185.